Début du dialogue 6.
Diasporas have existed in the world for millennia, and they're continuing to grow. There are over 200 million first-generation migrants today. That's 40% more than in 1990. Francis Maud has long studied diasporas and joins us today to discuss recent developments. It's not just the numbers which have been changing, is it, Francis?
That's true. Developments in technology and politics have changed the behaviour and leveraged the economic power of diasporas. In the 19th century, a migrant would board a ship and travel to North or South America and wouldn't expect to see his friends and family again. Even epistolary communication was uncertain. Letters were usually long delayed and frequently lost.
Whereas today, migrants have access to real-time news from home via email and the internet. Sending money securely to their home country takes seconds, and cheap flights make a visit back home affordable for many.
Exactly. The new communications technologies have put much more power into the hands of diasporas. The worldwide social networks of migrants can exploit their global reach to a degree that was never possible before.
Information can be exchanged across the world at lightning speed. Your research has revealed that this exchange of information is very complex and can be highly lucrative.
Diasporas create connections that facilitate collaboration between people with good ideas. Consider the case of a factory owner in China who has a cousin who has gone to settle in Canada. If that cousin contacts him about a business opportunity, a simple telephone conversation and an exchange of emails can clinch a commercial agreement worth millions of dollars. That's the advantage of knowing and trusting one another. Communications technologies combined with such trust within diasporas speed up business projects incredibly.
Chinese and Indian diasporas have existed for generations, and their commercial importance is well known. But the changes taking place have been facilitated not only by technologies, but also by politics.
Yes, there were limits to the commercial links that diasporas of previous generations could set up, because China and India were closed economies. Diasporas could only link foreign ports together. As the Chinese and Indian economies have opened up, Indians can now connect the whole world to India and India to the whole world.
And the same is true for China and the Chinese, of course.
Yes. Chinese business dynasties have been established for a century or more in countries like Indonesia. They've been successfully developing businesses in parts of China that Western corporations have been slow to enter. In fact, most of the foreign direct investment entering China passes through the hands of the Chinese diaspora. That amounted to over $100 billion in 2010. At the same time, American firms that have a lot of Chinese Americans on their staff find it easier to set up business operations in China.
In one of your articles, you published a striking statement by Shivinder Singh, an Indian you met. In his words, "If you live only in India, you naturally measure yourself against Indian standards. If you have lived abroad, you measure yourself against the best in the world."
Yes, diasporas are effective in transferring knowledge back to their home countries. When a member of his family was treated for a serious illness in the US, Shivinder Singh saw how the first-class organisation of American hospitals works. An Indian doctor would rely on his instincts, but he saw that doctors in American hospitals followed detailed procedures, which ensures a consistently high standard of work by all doctors. Shivinder Singh and his brother decided to introduce similar methods in their private hospital chain in India.
Was this transfer of knowledge successful?
Yes, and not only in quality. At their Indian hospitals, there are an army of helpers dealing with all the mundane tasks. This means the surgeon can concentrate on carrying out operations and perform three times as many operations in a year as a surgeon in the US. So an operation in India can cost one-tenth of the cost in America.
Fin du dialogue 6.